I guess we should start with the fact that we're in new digs here. We're in a new home. Rainmaker.fm has been around for a while, but this is the first episode that we're doing in this. What do you think of this new place?
I think it's kind of crowded. It used to be just us and those guys on the lead. And
right.
There's how many shows?
There are 10 shows plus, 11 if you count the master feed, which is all of the shows in one feed. But you're convinced that not many people are going to use that master feed, but we'll see.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. I just think it's ironic that we're announcing our podcast network and I have a cold and I kind of sound like Barry White, baby.
What, do you have a fireplace going and some scotch next to you?
Oh, yeah. Smoking jacket on.
What are your plans for the evening, Brian, Barry?
I think I'm going to stop doing that before I embarrass myself further.
Yeah, so here we are, Rainmaker.fm. If you're listening to this through iTunes, you should go check out quietly. We're not announcing this actually until next week. When this goes up, it'll be Thursday morning, but we're not actually publicly announcing this till next Monday. But check out Rainmaker.fm. Tell us what you think. It's the first live episode that we're doing here, but you'll find all kinds of...
Yeah, don't forget to give us a rating and a review on iTunes, because all of these upstarts are coming along and we need to increase our lead, so to speak.
Yes. You listening to this right now are among the first to have seen it, so thank you. But Brian, there is a little interesting news item this week, and that is and a bummer, but we're starting this brand new media property, Rainmaker.fm, the same week that a major player is going down, and that's GigaOhm, the news of GigaOhm.com.
Yeah, it's shocking to me and sad. It's been around as long as Copyblogger, actually. It was about the same time that Ohm transformed it from a personal blog into a true media property. And it just caught me by surprise because I think, Ohm left a year ago to go join True Ventures as a venture capitalist. And there was an infusion of $8 million at the time. Now, on one hand, they either spent $8 million amazingly fast and are completely broke. But I think probably that was a buyout of Ohm. So maybe the cash didn't stay completely in the company or at all. And they had a change to a content marketing focus in that they were primarily looking to sell research to make money. And I think it just brings up one of these eternal questions. It's obviously not that content marketing doesn't work, but if you're not in sync with your product or service matched up to your audience, you can still fail, even if your content is fantastic, like GigaOhm. So yeah, it's just, it's a bit
fantastic,
sad, but it's also kind of a lesson at the same time.
Yeah, really good content, but also, major property, major audience, major numbers going on over there for a long, long time. Yeah. That is a bummer.
But if you the whole point of having an audience is listening to what they want to buy, not deciding what you want to sell. And that's been the Copyblogger story all along. So yes, here we are launching a major new authority site based on audio, which is a way to reach a different audience than the core Copyblogger audience. And yet what we're selling, the very platform that it's built on, we know people want it because, from the launch in September, we are now into seven figures easily and growing every day. So the trick for us is not that we have to figure out what people want to buy. We've done that from listening over the years. Now it's, how do you reach more of the type of people that are going to go for Rainmaker as opposed to self-hosted WordPress or something like that?
Yeah. Okay. So we've broken this down into three parts, today's episode. And we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about audio content in general and specifically what we've been doing in the past for part one, what we're doing right now in the present with Rainmaker FM, and then also what some ideas about what the future may hold So we're going to stick to that little format. I think mostly this is, some of these parts of this story is just going to be me interviewing you, well, before I knew you, actually. And then, move into the present and the future. So let's go back to 2005. You launched Copyblogger, just you launched copyblogger.com in 2006, January of 2006. But I know you'd been thinking for a long time about what you wanted to do, what type of content, what format, what type of topics you wanted to do. But there's one thing in particular, before you either came up with the idea of Copyblogger, you had another idea. Tell us what that idea was and what this thing might have been.
Well, so in 2005, I exited the two real estate companies that I started, sold those to my partners, which was a disaster, and ultimately left me with not much of anything. So just to keep clear that I was not flush with cash at that point, I had to hustle doing a few online projects in the fall of 2005 just to survive. And looking around at the time, you've got blogging is growing up into, you know, pro blogging or, you know, commercial blogging. But the other interesting thing that happened and was going on was the early podcast. You know, remember they were named after the iPod. I don't know if that's lost on people at this point, given that the iPod has been discontinued and it's really the iPhone and various other technologies that have really caused podcasting to finally explode, you know, 10 years later, 9 years later. But I was just so fascinated with the concept, even though I'd never done any form of audio recording outside of, you know, those little push button tape recorders we had when,
in the old absolutely.
Day, when we had to record songs off the radio and try to catch it before the DJ started talking or get that instance of the song. That must sound so insane to younger people, but, and then we'd have to carry around a boombox on our shoulder, you know, and we thought the Walkman, which was the size of a small attaché case,
and yellow.
Okay, we can reminisce all we want later. But yeah, I was fascinated. I wanted to start a podcast, even though I was completely unqualified to do it, and yet I was qualified to write. So smartly, I would say I started Copyblogger instead. I played to my strengths, and that was fortuitous in lots of ways. Number one, I probably would have been terrible. Number two, podcasting, you know, crashed and burned, you know, the big VC funded network. I can't remember what it was called, but Scoble was involved and some other technology people tied to blogging and RSS, and it crashed and burned. Adam Curry, the former MTV VJ, was known as the pod father, and he was a big podcasting advocate. He was a big, you know, he was very persuasive about how powerful podcasting was. And his venture completely failed. I'm not even sure what he's doing anymore. But he was the man. Everyone listened. Well, everyone being us nerds, we all listened to that show. Did you ever listen to Curry?
I was only aware of him from MTV. I was not aware of podcasting in general until about 2006. But no. So no, I missed him in that format altogether.
Yeah, and so I think we met in 2006. And, you know, you have always had this fascination with audio.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's interesting to me about this is the crash and burn, kind of the first crash and burn of audio online, largely because it was expensive. A lot of the tools that we have now weren't around. So if you wanted to both produce it, but also consume it, it was a lot more expensive and difficult to do all the way around. It's still not easy to do well. I mean, we've been doing this now for a number of years, and we're starting this podcast network. And, you know, there's still bumps and bruises along the way. It's still difficult to get really good audio quality all the time.
Well, especially when you're managing a lot of people, and kudos to you for that. But you and I, so for 4 years, we talked about it, 2006 to 2010. Wasn't it 2010 that we launched the first?
You wrote me an email. I was lying in some gutter somewhere, and you wrote me an email and said, hey, you want to come work with us, with Sonia and I and everybody? So one of the first conversations that you and I had was about starting a podcast. And that's exactly what we did. It was, I think it was in November of 2010. And it went really well. I mean, it was mostly you and I, and Sonia would come on a lot. And then you or I would interview people, you know, basic format, but it was a kind of a hardcore teaching format, mostly like everything else we do. And it went really well. I mean, even
it's interesting because that show had rabid fans, and yet here was our perception, because we were killing it with text content, you know, and part of the evolution here is it was hard, and the web from a search and sharing standpoint was just so text focused, you know, and yet text, a lot of people don't read, and it's not necessarily something you can do while you're doing something else, like driving a car, one would hope. Although I do see that occasionally on the freeway, and I'm like, what are you doing? You know, the whole, never mind. It's portable. It's on demand. It's all this perfect stuff for the modern world, and yet it took a long time to shift. But so we never took that podcast too seriously. It seemed like just a novelty for some people because we had an audience full of readers, and you write a post, it goes viral. You do a podcast and you're like, hello.
Yeah. Well, one interesting aspect of that, that we realized quickly, was that this was tapping into a whole new audience that we'd never talked. Obviously there was some overlap from Copyblogger, of course, but there was a whole new audience of these audio people who we had never had the opportunity to talk to before.
Yeah, and I think that's incredibly true today because there's a big portion of the web that doesn't read, you know, 1,500 word articles, but they'll easily consume an hour podcast at the gym, yeah, on a run, in the car, whatever the case may be, in the background while they're getting work done. You know, it's radio, except it's on demand and portable.
Yep. So, yeah, 2005, you're thinking about starting a podcast network. You veer into text, which was a smart decision at that time. 5 years later, we start a single podcast. And then 4 years later, let's finish that part. We ended abruptly, kind of ended Internet Marketing for Smart People. We just stopped doing it.
It actually morphed into The Lead, and then we handed that over.
There was a period of downtime. And then Jared came on, and Damien, and they started it up again as The Lead. But it was pretty abrupt, and we just kind of stopped doing it. I mean, we got busy like everybody else, you know, building the company and, you know, working on
products and services that.
Yeah. Right. Matter. Right. But it's interesting to think about ultimately at some level, though we never would have probably articulated this. It was like, this is something that can be, you know, left behind. If anything has to be, this is probably the thing. That wasn't a conscious decision, but of course it's the decision we made nonetheless.
Yeah, it was a thing that if you don't have enough time in the day, then that was a thing that we didn't see the return that other things brought to us.
Yeah, and that's 2010. So now fast forward another 4 years, and we are launching the Rainmaker platform, which from a product standpoint is really the future for us.
It's the reason Copyblogger Media was formed in 2010 when we merged the individual businesses together. So,
but here's the thing. You came to me and said, you know, we started talking about audio again. We've been talking about audio constantly throughout this whole time. But you said, I think I want to launch the product specifically with a podcast. And I said, a brand new podcast, or what are you talking about? Because we don't have any traction. And of course, again, Copyblogger will back that up. But you wanted to start a brand new podcast leading up to the launch of the Rainmaker platform. And that was going to be the way that we were going to launch it. So let's talk about that.
We launched the pilot program.
Correct.
Crucial, to be specific. Because the pilot program got motivated people into the service. And we were able to take their feedback and evolve it from 1.0 to 2.0 before we ever mentioned it on Copyblogger. But yeah, we did launch a product without ever mentioning it in text, or at least on Copyblogger. And we did do it with audio. There were three webinars there at the end to try to boil down into some very intensive education the concepts that were behind this media, not marketing approach, which is a better way of explaining content marketing. A lot of light bulbs went off there, but it was almost unbelievable. I think it was Mike Stelzner who told me that he was listening to, it was, we did the actual announcement of the Rainmaker pilot program was by audio. And he was like, I couldn't stop listening. It was fascinating. I was like, well, thank you. But, you know, I was just hoping I wasn't losing people because it was a completely different medium for me compared to writing the announcement post, you know, that
I got to give it to you because I was worried and we talked about it, but I really got to give it to you for that because, you know, it worked. And I was wondering if it would or how it would work, but it really did.
I hear this all the time in this company. Everyone keeps waiting me for to make a crazy decision that fails. Not to say that all my decisions aren't crazy, but
yeah, right. Let's be clear here.
There's usually a method behind my madness, but
if you look at like a psychological
in 2013, as we're coming into the new year, it's almost like you feel it coming. And what a year 2014 was for podcasting. Now I can't claim to be prescient enough to say, yeah, I saw Serial coming. I saw, you know, that you just, it's intuition. It's just an overall awareness that this is gaining momentum and this is where the future of the audience is beyond the audience that we have. And it's time to go down with it. I was nervous too, frankly. I just didn't tell you.
Well, but and what do we know about this medium? Audio is so powerful, logical standpoint, that, you know, you're talking into somebody's head on a regular basis and you become, you know, the listener, and this is true for me of the podcasts I listen to anyway, it's like you think there's a sense of getting to know the person. Of course, you're not really getting to know them, but there's a sense
I think there is some truth to that. I mean, I'm certainly more me in this format than I am in writing, because in writing, every word has to be the right word, and I don't really have that luxury. I mean, the early new Rainmaker episodes were scripted, which was something we had never done before, because I was really trying to create, we were trying to create this kind of NPR / educational experience that no one in our space had really done before. So we forgot to mention that part of it was not only new to us, but it was new to the market.
Yeah. So that was 2014 in terms of this kind of story of our story of using audio in the ways that we have. And to kind of close out this first section of the past, you know, we've been building, you and I have talked for years about the idea of a podcast network and kind of liking that. But as we said before, you know, it was impractical from a production standpoint and even from a cost standpoint.
We always talked about it outside the context of Copyblogger because just felt like our audience didn't like audio enough.
Yeah, we're Copyblogger. We write articles.
Yeah, exactly. Until the fall of last year, and I guess two light bulbs went off at the same time.
Yeah, something happened there. I'm not sure, but we both kind of agreed, and it came together in a single conversation. I do remember that. Had been building for several years, and we thought, okay, let's do, is this crazy? Are we stupid? Let's do a podcast network. And so that brings us to the present. And I guess in talking about what we're doing now with Rainmaker.fm, I wanted to talk a little more philosophically about it. Like, why are we doing it? What were the decisions that we made? Some of it was just gut instinct and we just want to do it. But let's start with the general idea of audio versus text. Why do you think as we were having these conversations, why do you think we were bending more towards audio in the last, let's say, 2 years?
Because it is a way to reach other people. I think even more of our core audience is consuming more audio. They're becoming podcasters themselves. And it's just an evolution. I mean, it's not like in the real world, we are only readers and never watch video or listen to audio. And of course, we all do all of those things. We tend to prefer one medium or another. I mean, to this day, if someone tries to sell me an educational course, it could be the best course in the world. But if it's video-based, I'm just going to go, well, that's useless unless they have transcripts. Because yep. I can get an idea from video. And I certainly like to watch entertainment, like Better Call Saul last night. I don't know. Have you started watching the show yet?
I got the first episode in. That's all. That's as far as I am.
The latest one, so good, but I'm not gonna spoil it.
Yeah, don't. I'll reach through this microphone and strangle you. I got caught back up in Sopranos, so I'm screwed for another 6 months or whatever.
I still haven't tried to do that because I know.
Oh man,
my work productivity.
Yeah, you'll need to. You should take a sabbatical.
Yeah,
3 month sabbatical.
I can do that. Okay, you watch The House.
Just for The Sopranos. Yeah, where the audience is a big one here. And obviously everybody's, you know, aware of the kind of the rise of digital audio content and the ease of which that the consumer is able to grab it, you know?
Well, I think why we decided in that one conversation it was smart, you know, Rainmaker platform is not a podcasting platform, but it's got, you know, some of the best podcast functionality anywhere. I mean, you can create an entire network with it. It's got stats built right in. It's got submission built right in. It's really powerful. And of course, it does about 50,000 other things. And Rainmaker FM itself will demonstrate a lot of those things because audio is content, but it's not the entire aspect of what works best for lead generation or cultivating community or conversion, all of that kind of stuff. So it's a big part of what Rainmaker does. It's not the only thing. We're not selling it as a podcasting platform, but with the growing enthusiasm for audio content, almost every marketer should be using audio, you know, at this point. So we kind of keyed in and we're like, we need to reach the people we're not reaching. And we've got all these great features and we want to do more audio and it's just perfect. And that's why it's so funny. You and I decided this in a conversation. Then we had to tell everyone else, but the response was amazing, right? I mean, people were like beating down your door to be involved.
Yeah. And this idea of not only the podcast, because like we said, we've got the new Rainmaker podcast, which we should talk about the change in name here so there's no confusion
You mean?
The change back, right. The original name of this show was New Rainmaker. We changed it to Rainmaker.fm for various reasons. Now, because the network is itself Rainmaker FM, this show is again what it once was.
We actually changed the name before we made the decision, and then we just left it because it got the brand out there. We even changed the Twitter account. It became Rainmaker FM. The platform became associated with Rainmaker FM, and that was a very conscious decision to make sure that people understood the difference. So the only thing you call New Rainmaker from now on is this show.
Yeah, so the why podcasting question, I think, is relatively obvious. But the next question that begs is, in terms of what we're doing, is why a podcast network, right? Like, why this group of shows under one banner that we're starting with 10 shows that is going, you'll see that this is going to rapidly grow in terms of the number of shows and as we work on issues of quality, both in content and in production. But why a podcast network? Why even think along those lines?
Well, it's this other trend. Jay Baer's been talking about it a lot. Employee-generated content, tapping in to the people within your organization, whether it's a huge enterprise or a smaller business, in order to create relevant content from the people who are in different facets, not just quote-unquote marketing, or in our case, editorial, the people on the front lines, you know, your chief of operations, your head of product development, all of these people have perspectives that the folks in marketing need to understand better. And yet why do we have to filter everything through marketing or editorial? In fact, some of those voices may turn out to be breakout stars. So we started looking around our own organization, and we have a lot of internet celebrities that are in, you know, Chris Garrett, it has been a blogger longer than me.
Yeah, in his own right.
Yeah, yep. You know, Tony Clark used to write, but as soon as he met me, he quit because
he wanted
me to do it all.
He writes a copy blogger post every 7 years, once every 7 years.
Oh, is that it? Okay, so yeah, he's that's done the rule. One.
Yeah, right. So yeah, this idea of tapping into your own resources and your own people, and obviously if you're in a smaller organization or you're on your own, this is not necessarily going to apply. But the other side of this that does apply is talking to your talented friends and colleagues around you, if this is the kind of the way you want to think. So you'll notice, we'll talk in a moment, do a quick overview of all the shows on the network. But you'll notice that we've got currently two non-copy blogger shows, folks that are have been or are starting their own thing. And, you know, we'll be looking more into that as well. So these are people who are not copy blogger employees, but again, like Chris Garrett, in their own right, you know, expert subject matter experts and interested in these topics.
People like Lauren Baker, you know, he founded Search Engine Journal. He works with Greg Bozer at Foundation Digital. This guy knows his stuff. He's not really creating content on a regular basis. He has the expertise. He's got a great voice. And he was interested in doing a podcast. So I'm like, hey, Lauren, how about a show that's kind of focused on modern SEO? And he's like, yeah, absolutely, because we can assist in building his audience much more rapidly than he would be able to do alone. John Nastor of Hack the Entrepreneur, that was just me and him hitting it off. And I'm like, hey, we're doing this network. He's like, yep. I'm like, wait, I haven't asked you yet. But it was flattering that he would bring that, because that's a great show, you know. And yep. It's not going to be our approach to add existing shows to the network in the way of recruitment. If it happens to happen, great. But I think we're more interested in finding people with subject matter expertise, say Tim Hayden in mobile, and they've got an interest in podcasting. We help them get started fresh. That makes more sense to us. But also, what about this? In our audience out there, there's got to be a huge amount of talent aspiring to start their own show. And yep. Those may be the people we need to talk to, because we can give them the most benefit with production, promotion, wisdom. What have we learned? What have we screwed up? All that kind of stuff becomes ingrained within the production of this site. And we're able to help people join us in a way that's mutually beneficial.
Yep. So you mentioned John Nastor with Hack the Entrepreneur, Lauren Baker's new show, which is called, I got to say, probably my favorite show title in the entire network right now, which is Search and Deploy.
He threw out like five different titles to me, and I'm like, it's Search and Deploy. And that was like the first or second one. Then he kept giving me ideas, and I'm like, no, it's Search and Deploy.
Yeah, you can stop now. but let's go. So you started this. Let's go briefly through the other shows. So Sonia Simone, our chief content officer, she is running a show called Confessions of a Pink-Haired Marketer,
which is another great title and the greatest show art ever.
Yeah, this show art's pretty amazing. Thank you, Lauren. And she's doing like a quick weekly monologue rant type thing. I won't get into super detail with some of these descriptions. You can go to rainmaker.fm and right on the homepage, read a description of each show. Stephanie Flaxman, she's editor-in-chief over at copyblogger.com. Her show is called Editor-in-Chief, talking about things, you know, building your platform from that perspective. Damien.
Yeah, that's a really interesting show, because it's instead of just like Grammar Girl or something, which is important. It's almost, it's a methodology, you know. I think it's incredibly insightful and stuff that you really, it's hard to talk about in another medium.
The grammar angle on that is huge, but unlike, certainly there will be a lot of direct teaching with that, but as Stephanie and I were talking about it, building up to, you know, the launch of the network itself, this idea of, you know, she is hardcore in terms of, you know, getting all the details right. That kind of thing is going to be infuse her show for sure. So anyway, that's kind of a must listen. Then we get into the weirder side of things with Damien Farnworth, which is par for the course, I think, for Mr. Farnworth. And obviously it's some tongue in cheek there, but he's got a show called Rough Draft, which is a daily show, very short form monologue, 4 minutes. It's pure Damien for you pure writers out there. I have a great affection for this show already.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, everyone I hope is familiar with the epic home run viral sensation post this guy writes. I mean, anyone who's creating content or writing should listen to Damien. And yet, you know, Damien is our resident crazy person. I mean, I think he replaced you in that title.
I think so.
You're relatively sane. You just don't leave the house much.
No.
But Damien is so much fun to listen to because he's got brilliance and insanity right there. That fine line. He walks it every day.
Yep. If you're the pure writer, he's your man. Rough Draft's your show. Then we move into something like Hit Publish, Pamela Wilson, who I don't know how much you want to talk about what's been going on behind the scenes here, but this is a show, a phenomenal show on a couple of levels. First of all, Pamela is super smart, but she's also
writing
decided
for Copyblogger, I think, longer and more consistently than anyone in history. And we've had 150 guest writers, like that. Somewhere I don't know. But yeah, she's almost been part of the team in spirit for a long time. And then of course she came on board and she's just a badass and she's actually taking over copyblogger.com.
That's probably a whole nother episode in and of itself.
Is. We'll get Pamela on here to talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah. What's cool here though, with Hit Publish, her show is she's decided to take the high production value road. So she's doing a lot of kind of heavy duty editing, working with our editor.
She's kind of taking on what we were trying to do with
with
New Rainmaker in the first iteration, except she's adding, well, remember when we did those two episodes where I interviewed Sally Hogshead and, you know, just kind of interspersed it like a very NPR format. She nailed it though. And she's got multiple voices. Like I did a recording session with her and answered 4 questions in a batch on different topics. And, you know, she did that with several other people and she's got all this material and she just weaves it together with the help of our production team.
Yeah. I'm sitting here thinking about all these. We're going to need to bring some of these folks on to talk about how they do, because I think audio production is a big enough topic in and of itself and how people are putting their shows together, thinking about it, choosing their format, all of that.
And what not to do yourself.
Yeah, which is, by the way, we're going to learn, obviously, in these first months and first year, there's going to be some huge lessons on that, what not to do. So then we come to the best show of the entire network, which is New Rainmaker. Jared and I have an ongoing rivalry between New Rainmaker and The Lead. This has been going on for some time. He thinks The Lead is better. I disagree, but we'll see how that
goes. I'm going to have to side with you, Robert.
Yeah, I think
I don't mean to be, you know, the impartial or partial CEO, but I happen to, this is my show. So
yeah,
it's our show, but I'm part of us.
Right. I think that's smart. Speaking of The Lead, I think a lot of you are going to know about that show, which is Jared Morris and Damien again makes an appearance weekly on The Lead. Sometimes they interview folks. They're gonna change that up a little bit. So if you have been listening to The Lead, make sure you keep on track or check back in with it. Then we get into some interesting things, like a couple of little different things as we close up this overview of the opening shows, something like No Sidebar with Brian Gardner. He's our chief product officer, founder of Studio Press.
Talk about a personal revolution, no pun intended, for those of you who remember that Brian effectively created the premium WordPress market with the revolution theme. But he has become Mr. Podcaster.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks have been really cool to see him go. He's kind of found, I think, his new thing. We'll see what he talks about on the podcast itself. But we've been having these conversations, he and I, about, you know, he's gotten into like editing himself and doing the actual, you know, audio editing and dropping his bumpers in and making sure everything is perfect and how he wants it to be. He went out and, you know, kind of stepped up on a microphone and built a little recording studio for himself. So we might have created an audio monster there. We'll see.
Well, but Brian doesn't do anything half-ass. I mean, he just doesn't. Right. And I think, you know, Studio Press runs like a well-oiled machine, and he's just sitting there going, what do I do? First thing, though, he started building sites on Rainmaker, and he's become like an amazing evangelist. He's like, I had a conversation with so-and-so, and they're coming over to the platform. I'm like, really? I thought that was my job, but thank you for... Thank you.
Right.
Because it's business development is the hardest thing in the world. But with Rainmaker platform, often it's just a conversation. And then it's like we deal with migration issues and stuff like that. But anyway, so he got really into Rainmaker platform, which was refreshing given that he's a hardcore WordPress guy. And he got it, you know. I'm not sure he was ever completely sold the whole 3 years of building, because he was primarily running the Studio Press side of things. So there's that. But then he actually got the title of his show, No Sidebar, from one of our shows.
Yeah. You were going on a rant about, I don't think it was landing pages landing specifically. But
yeah, I think it was a landing page.
Stripping everything down. There's no header. There's no sidebar. There's no extra crap. And he ran with it.
It's nice to know I can say something random and have it turn into a media property. But,
right. And so he's got his podcast, No Sidebar, but he also built on the Rainmaker platform, nosidebar.com, which is a weekly newsletter and is evolving, you know, constantly. So we'll see what he does with that. But there's a lot going on there, and there's a lot to come, I think, from Mr. Gardner on the audio side of things.
Yep.
Then we get into, for you nerds and geeks out there, Chris Garrett and Tony Clark have launched a show called The Mainframe. And they're going to be talking about a lot of stuff, but particularly the intersection of marketing and technology and how to use these tools that we all have to use and how to use them better and be smart about it. But they're also going to be talking about Doctor Who and whatever it is they're watching.
Yeah, it's like the intersection of MarTech and Marvel. Because they love, if you follow both of those guys on Twitter, they're just usually spazzing out about the latest, you know, X-Men news or, you know, whatever the case may be. And we're like, hey, you know, you should do a show and you should do that stuff too. And they're like, are you sure? Because you're always talking about value for the audience and whatnot. And I'm like, but in this medium, people want to hear a little bit about what makes you you. It's not like you and I didn't just make Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, and Soprano references in midstream. Yep. So, you know, it's just our geekery is different from their geekery, although I'm also kind of a Marvel geek too.
And then the last thing is, of course, the master feed, the Rainmaker FM master feed. If you want all the shows,
this is the fire hose.
One place,
the
fire hose.
FM. Yep. But with the podcast player now, you know, it's, you know, in your phone or on the iPad or whatever, you could just stroll through everything that's newest and greatest. So it'll be interesting to see how many people adopt that. But it is definitely a way to never miss anything.
Right. And one swipe, you know, other shows you're not into, one swipe, it's out of there. But yeah, exactly. That's my thought, is that if you don't want to miss anything, grab the master feed and you're good. And that will be, you know, doable now, but we'll see in a couple of months when other shows come online.
Well, as more shows come online, we'll be able to make categorical feeds, I think. You know, the hardcore marketing stuff over here, technology and development over here, you know, with design. We'll figure that out, but it's too early to worry about that at this point.
So that's an overview of all the shows currently on Rainmaker.fm. And that kind of wraps up this second part, which is the present. Let's quickly talk about the future. There's a lot here that we're not going to get into, but just as a general kind of thing, we've talked, you and I, before on this show about how the future of audio itself, the future of radio and the future of audio itself online, as the technology becomes even easier than it is now for the general consumer. This is one reason why we've built this podcast network, because we want to be tied into that wave. We want to go where the audience go. We want to go into the stream in the direction that it's already flowing. And this is definitely flowing in audio is definitely flowing in this direction. That's not the only reason, but it certainly is one consideration.
Well, right now you'll see on the homepage with the headline that it's focused specifically on digital marketing.
Correct.
And as far as we can tell, and we've looked just at launch, we're the largest digital marketing podcast network in the world. If we're wrong about that, drop a comment, let us know, because I'd love to see. But as far as what I can see in iTunes or even in Google, this is out of the gate the largest digital marketing podcast network around. And I think we're launching, we'll be double the size in a month or so. So there's that, which is fairly ambitious. But, and I don't want to overstate the case here, but you could imagine with the brand and the continued ease and popularity of podcast as a on-demand, portable education source for people who need the latest tips, tactics, stories, strategies, all that stuff to stay at the top of their game. Well, the brand Rainmaker FM could encompass all of marketing and sales, not just digital marketing. That remains to be seen. That would be super ambitious. I mean, that's literally what should be a VC-funded company. And yet, to this day, we are still completely bootstrapped and self-funded. We're just reinvesting more of what we make into the future, as all smart companies should.
I want to run something by you to close this out. And that is kind of a picture. I was digging around. This was months ago when we were first really seriously talking about how this might work. And you look at, in the 1920s and 30s, you look at a company like NBC, and specifically with the radio station. I mean, that's what it was, and what they were doing and how they were developing shows and how they were developing talent. And this may be an obvious connection to some, but I think it's worth saying that it really is no different, other than things like money and funding and technology, of course. But NBC building their broadcast system, obviously on a smaller scale and on a more streamlined scale, there's not much difference there. We're doing something here, not going to be as big as NBC, of course. That's not what I'm saying.
What?
But well,
we're
okay.
Not going to be as, now come on,
yeah,
Robert.
Right.
Maybe
sorry about
feeling
that.
A little overworked right now, but let me rephrase.
Let's not
box ourselves in.
The metaphor stands. This is what, and what, you know, you can do as well is think like this. Look to the past for those cues, for the cues of quality, for the cues of professionalism, for structure. Of course, the technology has changed. And I find it interesting that in the 1920s and 30s, when NBC was, you know, this powerhouse and even more on the rise, we're getting into, you know, the 20s and 30s again. And maybe this is something to look at, you know, going forward, where an individual could do this. I mean, this is a lot of work. Maybe someday we'll talk about what went into this.
It's more,
but you can build your own radio station. I mean,
from look at Procter & Gamble. You know, I use that as an example all the time. They started off the soap opera as radio shows to reach housewives to sell soap to. Literally, soap operas. I like that one even better because we are starting off as a content marketing play effectively. We are our own sponsor, but just like Procter & Gamble ended up being one of the largest brand advertisers in history, there's nothing stopping us from expanding into accepting sponsorship ourselves.
Yeah,
so, right. And again, yeah, that is not on the plate at this point. But you just look how relatively primitive things are in media when they start. Everything from the original films, which were just stage plays, to early television. And a lot of things come, you know, what comes around goes around kind of thing, which is ironic. But at the same time, we also get more sophisticated. We get more scale. And there is a lot of money looking at podcasting right now. So that's the other side of things. Are we going to even be allowed to make this into what we wanted on our own?
To exist without taking some of that. So yeah, as far as the future, that's the picture. Obviously more shows. We hope to grow the audience, of course, you know, on the company and product side. We'll see what happens there. But obviously the growth and evolution of the Rainmaker platform. But really, that's it. Any other final thoughts before we close this one out and put it in the can?
No, I'd love to have you guys and gals go over to Rainmaker FM, sample some of the other shows, poke around. This is very early stages for the site. It will grow and evolve in sophistication using more and more of what Rainmaker has built right in. And let us know what you think, just knowing that there's more to come. And also, if you're listening to this right away, there has been no public announcement of this other than this. So,
we're not going to cry
if you talk about it.
Yeah.
But the official launch is Monday the 16th.
Yeah. And a final note on that, if you go to rainmaker.fm and you want to get everything delivered, there's a big blue free registration, or green rather, free registration button. You'll see, click that button. That will get you into our weekly email. Right now it's weekly. We're working on how to deliver
it'll be
weekly
from that source. And it may be the best option right now because we're still getting all the shows into iTunes and all that. So there may be a brief lag between iTunes catching up with us. But as far as our property, our real estate, lesson here, not dependent on iTunes one bit, it's all ready to go for you to take in the initial shows.
So, Brian, thanks. And wherever or whenever you guys out there are on the internet, good luck to you. We'll see you next week.
Take care, everyone.